The following reading is brought to you by the Illinois Radio Reader. Hello, this is Joan with the Bloomington Normal Pantograph, dated Thursday, July 17th, 2025. We will begin today's reading with the article headlined, Downed Trees, Power Lines, and Outages Reported After Afternoon Storm in Bloomington, by Pantograph staff. Bloomington. A short but powerful thunderstorm moved through Bloomington Normal Wednesday afternoon, leaving power outages and a number of downed trees and power lines in the area. Bryce Jansen, Public Information Officer with the Bloomington Police Department, told the Pantograph around 3:45 p.m. that all city fire apparatuses have been sent out to assist with downed power lines. In a statement on Facebook, BPD asked motorists to drive with caution and to never drive over downed power lines or exit their vehicle if it is near a downed power line. Traffic lights that are flashing red or completely out should be treated as stop signs, BPD said, and drivers should stop completely and make sure the intersection is safe before proceeding. People should also stay away from any puddles or wet surfaces near power lines and avoid tree limbs or fences that may be electrified by contact with a power line. Downed trees with power lines have been reported in Bloomington at Emerson in Maine, Beecher in Maine, and Rosny in Marion, among others. People should avoid these areas until they have been cleared. A railroad sign was knocked down in the area of White Oak Road and Market Street, but no traffic hazards were reported, BPD said. Downed trees and branches have also been spotted in the areas of North Clinton Street and at Washington and Morris Streets in Bloomington. The Normal Fire Department also shared on Facebook that it was responding to numerous downed trees and wires after the storm and reminded drivers not to pass barricades and to turn around rather than driving through flooded areas. As of 4:40 p.m., Ameren Illinois' website showed about 86 power outages with 3,393 customers out of service in Bloomington Normal. Ameren customers are also without power in the Hudson, Myrna, Downs, Leroy, Lincoln, and Graymont Flanagan areas. A small number of Corn Belt Energy customers in McLean and Tazewell counties also were without power late Wednesday afternoon. McLean County EMA Director Kathy Beck said her office is in communication with Ameren, Illinois about power outages and added that affected areas include parts of Carl Broman Medical Center and Illinois State University, both in Normal. A representative with Carl Broman said for a brief time, the hospital had to divert some patients to OSF St. Joseph Medical Center in Bloomington, but it is no longer doing so. At approximately 2:55 p.m. today, Carl Broman Medical Center lost power due to the severe thunderstorm and switched to backup power systems, hospital spokesperson Lisa Slater said in an emailed statement. The hospital staff regularly conducts preparedness training for situations like this to minimize the impact on patients, visitors, and team members. The emergency department remains open for emergency cases, and patients are being kept comfortable while we await information from Ameren regarding when power will be restored. Beck said households experiencing power outages should keep their refrigerators and freezers closed to help their food last longer while crews work to restore power. They have to start big and then go small, Beck said. It's super hot out, so I would also recommend people go to friends and family's homes or a public building that does have air conditioning if they have any people that would be sensitive to the heat. Patricia Carlson and her husband Dan Holland were driving west on Emerson Street toward White Oak Park to watch the storm when they were turned around by downed trees, Carlson said. It was just crazy, she said, cleaning debris in front of her home on Clinton Boulevard in Bloomington. While they were driving, their car was even hit by branches, she said. Carlson and Holland have lived on Clinton Boulevard for nearly 30 years, and they said this storm stands out to them. It's the worst that I think I've seen, Carlson said. The next local story is entitled, Woodford County Board Discusses OK's Appointments, by Steve Stein. Eureka. Normally, routine appointments approved by the Woodford County Board as part of the board's monthly meeting consent agenda became discussion items Tuesday at the request of a board member. These appointments shouldn't be pushed under the rug, Autumn Jones said about the proposed appointments of veterinarian Matthew Fraker as the county's animal control administrator and Kayla Underwood as the county's zoning administrator, after asking for both items to be taken off the consent agenda for discussion. Animal control has been a hot topic here for months, and the zoning administrator is a significant position in the county that we're filling internally, Jones said. Appointments like these are worthy of discussion at this table. Board member Blake Parsons, chairman of the county's Public Safety Committee, responded to Jones's request for discussion about Fraker's new role. Fraker formerly was the deputy administrator. State law requires that a veterinarian serve as a county's animal control administrator, Parsons said, and that's why Fraker was promoted. Underwood will replace Deb Bryman, who was retiring in December. Fraker's and Underwood's appointments were approved by the board. The board approved two reappointments and an appointment to the Zoning Board of Appeals as part of its consent agenda. Several board members said later in the meeting that reappointments and appointments involving the ZBA also should be discussed. The ZBA makes the final decision on zoning and special use cases. As part of the consent agenda, Karen Krug was reappointed to the ZBA for a 5-year term. Doug Wuthrich was appointed to the ZBA to complete the unexpired 5-year term of Terry Pill. And Blake Otto was reappointed to the ZBA for a 5-year term as an alternate. Also, as part of the consent agenda, Diana Boschulte was reappointed to the Woodford County Housing Authority Board for a 3-year term. Brandy Gerber was appointed to the board for a 2-year term, and Robin Hansen was appointed to the Oak Ridge Sanitary District Board for a 3-year term. In other business Tuesday, Jones, chair of the County Offices Committee, told the board that bids are being sought for a new roof at the Metamora Church recently purchased by the county for use as an animal control facility. Items left at the church will be examined for possible use at the facility, and an electric sign will be installed at the site, she added. The board also approved increasing the annual salary for public defender Andrew Langton to $197,393, retroactive to July 1st, to comply with state law. Langton's salary is 90% of state's attorney Eric Gibson's new annual salary of $219,325, also effective July 1st. The state covers much of state's attorney and public defender salaries. Additionally, the board approved the purchase of a used vehicle for the sheriff's office for an amount not to exceed $40,000. The vehicle will replace one that was at the end of its life and sold at auction. Also approved at the request of the Sheriff's Office was the hiring of low bidder Wernsman Lawn Care of Metamora for lawn care services at the courthouse, firing range, health department, and new animal control facility. Sheriff Matt Smith told the board that the third floor bathrooms at the county courthouse, which have been closed for several weeks because of a drain pipe leak, should reopen soon after the leak is repaired. The board hired the engineering firm of Hampton, Lenzini, and Renwick of Springfield for an amount not to exceed $18,000 to do a condition report on a bridge on County Highway 9 over Denman Creek in Kansas Township. The report will recommend repairing or replacing the bridge, which has a 35-foot span with a wood plank abutment and wing walls. Board member Jim Bauman, chairman of the Road and Bridge Committee, reported to the board that the County Highway 13 bridge in Roanoke has been taken down as part of a road project. The bridge will be replaced. County Clerk Dawn Kupfer told the board that members who want to run for re-election next year can pick up a petition packet starting August 5th and must return the packet between October 27th and November 3rd. The dates are earlier than usual. The primary election is March 17, 2026. The general election is November 3, 2026. The next article is headlined, "Woman Gets Prison for Abuse Videos," by Caitlin Klepek. Bloomington. A woman from Normal accused of sex crimes involving both an animal and a child has been sentenced to 95 years in prison after she pleaded guilty to three offenses. Sarah B. Troutwine, also known as Sarah B. Howard, 35, pleaded guilty on May 16th to two counts of predatory criminal sexual assault with a victim younger than 13, and one count of dissemination of imagery depicting the sexual abuse of a child. All are Class X felonies. Troutwine was eligible for a sentence between 6 and 60 years for each of the predatory criminal sexual assault charges, with those to be served consecutively. The distribution of imagery charge was also eligible for a sentence of 6 to 30 years, but the judge had discretion to decide whether that sentence could be served at the same time as the others. Following the hearing arguments, Judge William Workman said all three counts will be served consecutively to one another, finding that each act was committed during a separate course of conduct. The judge ultimately sentenced the defendant to 40 years on each predatory criminal sexual assault offense, to be served at 85%, and 15 years for the dissemination of imagery depicting child sex abuse, to be served at 50%. The sentences will be followed by a term of mandatory supervised release ranging from 3 years to life. Background. These charges stem from an incident on August 1, 2024, according to a probable cause statement read by a prosecutor during Troutwine's initial court appearance. While babysitting a child younger than 5, Troutwine recorded herself committing sexual acts on the child and later shared the footage online. Police obtained search warrants to extract additional evidence from her phone, where they found images of the child as well as 5 videos containing sexual conduct or contact with a dog, the prosecutor said. Troutwine denied committing these offenses until she was shown the videos by police. Once being shown the videos, she said she wished they would just shoot her, the prosecutor said during her detention hearing. Initially, she was charged with one count of predatory criminal sexual assault of a victim under 13, a Class X felony, five counts of sexual conduct or contact with an animal, Class 4 felonies, three counts of production of pornography with an animal, Class X felonies, five counts of possession of child pornography with a victim under 13, Class 2 felonies, five counts of reproduction of child pornography with a victim under 13, Class X felonies. She was detained for these offenses on August 30, 2024, and has remained jailed since. Additional charges were later added, bringing Troutwine's total accused offenses to 26 charges. Following her May plea to three counts, her remaining charges were dismissed. Destroyed something precious. During Tuesday's sentencing hearing, Assistant State's Attorney Daniel Guido called the child's mother and grandparents to the stand to give victim impact statements. These are burdens no child should ever have, the grandfather said. He continued explaining how the family has dealt with the repercussions since the abuse. She has inflicted a wound so deep into our entire family, he said, noting that Troutwine had taken not just the victim's innocence, but also the child's sense of safety in this world. You destroyed something precious, he said to Troutwine. The victim's mother then took the stand. Never in a million years would I think Troutwine would be capable of doing something so vile, she said. The victim's mother said because of Troutwine's actions, she, as a mother, has been affected and feels responsibility for the abuse. She said she felt like she had failed her child. We thought we could obviously trust her caring for our child, the mother said, noting she had known the defendant for 6 years. Sentencing recommendations. In asking for a sentence, Guido noted that he found several factors in aggravation in this case, but specifically noted the victim impact statements and the emotional toll the child and family endured as a result of the abuse. One can only imagine the fear and confusion the victim felt in this matter, the prosecutor said. Even worse, she recorded these offenses and later sent them out online. He also mentioned the defendant's criminal history, which comprised only misdemeanors, but all of a violent nature for battery. Since being jailed, she has been cited three times for rule violations, including battery to another inmate, Guido said. The prosecutor spoke of the defendant's sex offender evaluation, which he said showed Troutwine minimized and has been dismissive of her conduct, blaming individuals she met online, and at first denying partaking in these offenses. The prosecutor asked for 50 years on each of the sexual abuse counts and 25 years for the dissemination charge. In arguing for a lesser sentence, public defender Ron Lewis described Troutwine's ongoing mental health struggles, including periods of dissociation that he said were the reason the defendant didn't remember committing the offenses. His assertion was backed up by letters from a psychologist who described Troutwine as having complex PTSD as a result of her own sexual abuse. Additionally, Lewis said the defendant is capable of rehabilitation, citing that she has graduated from specialty court programs in the past and has been taking classes while jailed. He noted that Troutwine was asked to commit these acts by men she had been messaging online and that she doesn't have an attraction to children, but rather an issue with seeking attention and validation from men. We all wonder, how does one get to a place or state of mind where they commit the awful acts talked about here, Lewis said. The public defender additionally spoke of Troutwine's tragic mental health and the trauma she suffered throughout the course of her life. It's not an excuse, but historical perspective and explanation, Lewis said. He asked the defendant be given a sentence on the lesser end of the spectrum. In giving a statement to the court, Troutwine apologized to the victim and the family and asked the judge to give a sentence that gives the family healing and closure. I should have taken the time to have sought out more treatment. That was on my part, and now I'm ready to take 100% responsibility for my actions, the defendant said. Ultimately, Workman said he found aggravating factors to outweigh mitigating factors in this case, noting continued crimes of violence, even while jailed, and the fact Troutwine was in a position of trust over this child. Additionally, the judge noted that Troutwine's explanation as to how or why this occurred, encouraged by other individuals, was hard to believe. Instead of protecting this child, she abused this child, Workman said. In a statement provided to the Pantograph, Bloomington Police Chief Jamal Symington said, "The conduct this criminal investigation unveiled was substantial. The judge's sentencing sends an impactful message to our community that this type of dangerous behavior will not be tolerated." From the initial investigation through the prosecutorial process, I commend the diligent efforts of all who made our city safer. Although the work of our officers is hard, laborious, and stressful, we seek to bring justice to victims and protect those who are not able to protect themselves from harm. Lewis declined to comment concerning this case. And here's a local story entitled, "City Honored for Trafficking Fight," by Drew Zimmerman. Bloomington. The city of Bloomington is the first municipality in Illinois to receive Partner in Peace certification for its commitment to combating human trafficking through education, awareness, and frontline training, according to a news release. The Partner in Peace program, offered by the Center for Prevention of Abuse, provides specialized instructions for organizations and municipalities to identify and respond to signs of human trafficking. Hundreds of Bloomington employees have been educated on intervening and advocating for at-risk individuals through this program. Carol Myrna, CEO of the Center for Prevention of Abuse, said in a news release that city employees are often boots on the ground and in a unique position to notice when something isn't right in their community. Human trafficking is a crime that hides in plain sight, and this partnership shows that Bloomington cares and is serious about shining a light on it, Myrna said in the release. Their commitment to building a safer, more peaceful community is clear, and we hope other cities across Illinois will be inspired to follow their lead. Last month, the Bloomington City Council approved an ordinance establishing a licensing framework and fee structure for massage and bodywork businesses in order to help identify illegitimate massage establishments that may be operating as fronts for illegal sexual activity. Bloomington Mayor Dan Brady said in the news release that the certification reflects staff's values as a city. "We're proud to lead the way in Illinois, but more importantly, we're proud to be doing the work, educating our team, protecting our community, and standing up for those who too often go unseen," Brady said. The next story is entitled, "Arts and Health Day Set for Saturday," by Olivia Jacobs. Bloomington. The City of Bloomington will host its first Arts and Health Day from 9 a.m. to noon, Saturday, July 19th, at Franklin Park and the Creativity Center, 107 East Chestnut Street, Bloomington. The family-friendly event is free and brings together arts, health, and community wellness with interactive activities and free access to health information and resources, according to a news release. Activities are as follows. 9:30 to 9:45 a.m., Zumba, led by Shannon Ramirez. 10 to 10:30 a.m., Mandala Art Demonstration by Threshold to Hope. 10:45 to 11 a.m., Overview of the Babyfold's Mission, Programs, and Impact. The event will also feature booths and activities from over 15 local organizations. The Babyfold, Red Cross, Creative Healing Expressive Arts Center Open House, Threshold to Hope, Suline Creations, Creative Vets, Zumba with Shannon, Friends of the BCPA and BCAI will be at the Creativity Center. Johnson Family Chiropractic, Lift the Ban, NAACP, Veterans Treatment Court Mentor Program, WBRP's Book Bike, ISU Psychological Services Center, Carl Health, One Hope Project, Lake Run Club, and the YMCA will be at Franklin Park. Visit artsblooming.org for more information. And here's an item entitled, Free Popsicles at White Oak Park, Bloomington. Bloomington Parks and Recreation and Special Opportunities Available in Recreation, or SOAR, will offer free popsicles from 1 to 3 p.m. Sunday, July 20th at White Oak Park, 1514 Cottage Avenue, Bloomington. The event is for all ages and is part of the city's celebration of Park and Recreation Month. There will also be yard games, temporary tattoos, an obstacle course, a sensory PlayStation, music from local group Jim and Tommy, and more. Guests may bring chairs or blankets to listen to the music. Registration is not required and all activities are free. Visit bloomingtonparks.org or call 309-434-2260 for more information. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for July 17th. Please stay tuned.